ready to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our Bible study today comes from the book of Exodus. Our teacher is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University until the time he went to be with his Lord. And now by tape recording, here is today's study by Mr. Boyd.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. That's Exodus, chapter 34, and we're going to consider today verses 1 to 9, which records for us Moses' vision of the Lord. You recall that chapters 19 to 40 in the book of Exodus record for us a period in Israel's history known as the theological period, in which God gives a revelation of himself unto the nation, and Israel is encamped around Mount Sinai. 22 chapters given to 9.5 months of Israel's stay at the mountain. In chapter 19, there is the revelation of the Lord. In chapters 20 to 24, the annunciation of the law. In chapters 25 to 40, the designation of the way. Now, that has to do with the way of approach unto a holy God. 16 chapters are devoted to this great theme, which indicates its importance. And the tabernacle, with its furnishings and its priesthood, dominates these chapters. We may further divide chapters 25 to 40 as follows. In chapters 25 to 31, we have the gracious provision for Israel. Chapters 32 to 34, the grievous perversion of Israel. And chapters 35 to 40, the glorious performance in Israel. Now, chapter 30 is the great worship chapter in Exodus. It tells where worship is to be done, how it's to be done, and who may approach God in worship. And then in chapter 31, there's recorded for us the builders of the tabernacle and the sign of the Sabbath. In chapter 32, the apostasy of Israel, the advocacy of Moses. And in chapter 3, the journey was to be resumed, the tabernacle removed from the midst of the camp and placed outside, and then two prayers by Moses, one a prayer for divine guidance, and the other a prayer for the display of glory. Now, in chapter 34, these first 9 verses are devoted to God's reply to Moses' prayer for the display of glory. And so we have a record of Moses' vision of the Lord. In the first 4 verses, there is recorded for us the preparation for the vision. We read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee 2 tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. And he hewed 2 tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up unto the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the 2 tables of stone." You'll notice the preparation for the vision. First of all, it was made by the orders of the Lord. And the Lord gave 3 words of instruction to be obeyed by Moses. First of all, there was to be a duplication of the tables of stone. The Lord said to Moses, "Hew thee 2 tables of stone, like unto the first, which thou breakest." And of course, those tables of stone at first were hewn by the Lord himself. And on those tables of stone, the Lord with his finger had written the Ten Commandments, the moral law, which regulated the moral life of Israel under the Mosaic Covenant. Now, Moses was to duplicate those tables of stone himself this time, that is, as far as hewing them out was concerned, and then bring them up to the top of the mount with himself unto the Lord, and there the Lord would write again the words of the law on those tables of stone. So the first order was to duplicate the tables of stone. The second order was for personal presentation of Moses, verse 2. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself to me in the top of the mount. So there was to be the personal presentation of Moses. He was to make ready himself for his appearance before God in the top of the mount. And then in verse 3, no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. All others then forbidden to come with him. All other men were forbidden either to come up with him or to even be seen anywhere throughout the mount. And then the cattle and the sheep were not to even feed before the mount. This was to be an appearance of God unto Moses and to him alone. And this was a solitary act of Almighty God, which was reserved for this man of God, the servant of the Lord, Moses, who had been faithful unto the Lord. So, this preparation for the vision was made by orders from the Lord, but it was also made by obedience of Moses. Verse 4, and he, that is Moses, hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. So he obeyed the first order. Second, Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. So Moses, as was his custom when God gave orders to him, obeyed. This is implicit obedience. And my dear friends, if you and I today, in this age in which we live, ever get a glimpse of the glory of the Lord, we're going to have to obey the orders of the Lord with regards the preparation that's to be made for us to appear in his presence so we can see him with the eye of faith. All right, in verses 5 to 7, there is recorded for us the proclamation of the name. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. All right, there's the proclamation then of the name of the Lord. Of course, that name is the Lord. It's composed of what we call the sacred tetragrammaton, and sometimes the Word of God translates this name Jehovah. Some believe it is to be translated Yahweh. And this name was proclaimed by the Lord. Now, the Lord descended then, in verse 5, from his throne in heaven, and came down into the mount where he met Moses to proclaim the name of the Lord. And then the Lord passed by him, as he had said he would back in chapter 33 and verse 19, that he would make his goodness pass before him, and then he would hide him in the cliff of the rock, verse 21, and pass by him and then cause his glory to pass by, and after that he would see his backward part. So the Lord passed by Moses, as he had said in chapter 33, and then he gave the utterance of his name. And so the utterance of the Lord is the Lord God. And then he describes himself. First of all, merciful, that is, he is compassionate. He pities his children. Gracious, that is, he has favor to bestow upon those who will trust him. Long-suffering, this means his anger is not soon aroused. And abundant in goodness and truth. And, of course, the word goodness here is that tremendous word, hesed, which means loyal love, loyalty to the covenant. and truth. Of course, he is the truth himself, and this means absolute truth. He keeps mercy for thousands, that is, thousands of generations. And this word mercy here is that same word hesed, meaning he keeps his promise and his covenant. He's loyal to the covenant promises he made unto thousands, and he forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Iniquity, that twisted nature, that bent to sinning. Transgression, that is that stepping over the line. And sin, the failure to measure up unto God's requirements for men. He forgives them to thousands of those who trust him, but will by no means clear the guilty. And as the guilty ones refuse to bow before him, he visits their iniquity on the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now that's the utterance of the Lord. And then in verse 8, there is the prostration of Moses. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. He became prostrate before Almighty God in worship. And then he prays, verse 9. And he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go up among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance." And this prayer is a prayer for restoration into the favor of God on behalf of the people. No wonder Moses fell prostrate in the presence of God. No wonder he offered up this prayer to beg God's mercy and grace and reinstatement on behalf of Israel. Listen, dear friends, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." That is, they cast off restraint. "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And here is an illustration of this truth on the part of Moses, who obeyed God explicitly and had a vision of the Lord. And as a result of that vision, he successfully interceded on behalf of the nation Israel. And God showed his mercy toward them and came and carried them into the land of promise. So it is today. You and I need to have a vision of the glory of the Lord, of that which he will do through us if we'll go and witness for him, and of the power of God in reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God give us a desire for such a vision to send us forth to be his faithful servants in worship and in prayer and in witnessing.
You've been listening to a Bible study by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. These studies from the book of Exodus were recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry. God has a special place of service for each of us, and we're prepared at Bob Jones University to help you get ready for your special place. We maintain the best facilities available in Christian education. Call 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Get the details for seeing BJU on videotape. Call right now, 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Locally, call 242-5100. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.